you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. And I am not Jason Goff. No, this is Tony Gill, a podcast producer for NBC Sports Chicago and just overall just contributor. I just contribute whenever I can, like in this case where I'm introing this podcast for you guys. So coming up on today's podcast, every Friday, we're going to be doing a series. And the first series that we're doing is the 90s Bulls. And this week we have something very, very special. We have Stacey King, color commentator extraordinaire for NBC Sports Chicago. He sat down with Jason and told great stories about how he became Bull, what it was like playing with Michael Jordan. I mean, Stacey was excellent, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. So without further ado, here's the interview with Jason Goff, host of the Bulls Talk podcast, and Stacey King.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
So, Stacey, in 1989, when you show up on the shores of Lake Michigan here in Chicago, being drafted in the top 10 by the Chicago Bulls, what were your expectations as you were getting ready to take a ride that we've only seen from afar?
I knew I was coming to a very good team. They had won 50 games the year before, got knocked out by the Pistons. And I had followed them pretty closely because, we had Harvey Grant, who was twins with Horace. So we used to watch the Bulls all the time on WGN. Mm-hmm. So I had a little bit of an insight on the Bulls before I even got here. So, I was excited. I was a big Jordan fan like all the kids were. So I was really excited about coming here. I didn't know too much about Chicago. I knew they had a rabid fan base. It was cold. I knew that. So that was the one thing I did know about Chicago, how cold it was.
So when you were introduced to the Bulls and the organization, who were the first people that you ran into in terms of made you feel like this was getting ready to be something special? Because at that time, the rivalry with the Detroit Pistons had already been established. You were getting ready to ascend to a championship level. What did you – who indoctrinated you? Who brought you into the fold early on in this organization? Maybe somebody in the staff, maybe somebody in the office, a player. Who were some of the early people for you?
It was Doug Collins. You know, when I first got here and I came here on my visit before they drafted me and I was doing the pre-testing and all that stuff, Doug, pretty much gave me the script on what the rivalry was all about. That was the only team that they were looking at. That was a team they had to get by. It wasn't Boston. It wasn't New York. It wasn't the other team. They were gearing up for the Pistons, and they were drafting guys to fill a role, as far as toughness and just athletic ability. They could play multiple positions, which I kind of felt I fit mm-hmm. that bill. And he told me how serious how the rivalry was and basically said, if I was there in the sixth pick, which no one thought I was supposed to go number one to Sacramento. And so no one thought I would be there. So I didn't think I was going to be there. And so he said, if I was there, you won't go past six. So mm-hmm. we're going to get you. So I left thinking to myself, like, yeah, this is a pretty cool place. I really enjoyed Doug. I mean, Doug's a good friend of mine now, but, I stayed in contact with Doug even, after he was fired here. He was a motivator for me, a big inspiration for me, and I would have loved to play for him because his energy was infectious. And I like that. I like those kind of fiery type of guys that push you to the limit and make you reach things that you probably don't think you can reach.
So speaking of Doug Collins, the groundwork, we always think about Phil, Michael, Scotty, Horace, all the key and major players, but the groundwork that had been laid before Phil took over. What were some of the things that were implemented or culturally instilled before Phil Jackson took over that led you guys maybe to championships afterwards?
Well, Doug doesn't get the credit that he deserves because, honestly, that was Doug's team. You know, that 90, 91, 92, 90, the team that won basically the first couple of championships, really, you know, with Doug Collins' team. I mean, you go win 50 games, you take a team deep into the playoffs, and, you know, you're a couple of games from advancing. You know, you have a huge game against Cleveland, who was supposed to be the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. Huge upset. Everybody knows MJ hitting that shot as history, you know. So those teams were Doug's, and he didn't get, you know, in my opinion, I don't think he got the credit he deserved because once you start winning – people look at you, you know, not what have you done for me lately, what are you doing for me now?
Right.
And as great as Phil is, and I still consider Phil the greatest coach I've ever played for, but as good as, you know, as great as Phil was in the championship he's won, you know, who knows what Doug could have done if he would have had those same teams and, you know, because he was on the cusp of turning it around anyway. So I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. I don't think Jerry Krause gets the credit he deserves. It's a shame that Jerry's not here now. Rest in peace, Jerry. He's one of the greatest general managers, architects of a championship team that no one talks about. No one gives that man credit for putting his team together for various reasons, because some players didn't like him, didn't like the way he looked, didn't like, you know, they had all the nicknames for him. But one thing about Jerry knew how to put teams together. And in my opinion, one of the greatest GMs, you know, going, you know, in the history of the game, including with Jerry West. I mean, he's right in there with Jerry West as a talent evaluator, as a guy who knew how to draft. I mean, he drafted Charles Oakley, and people thought he was crazy. You know, he drafted Scottie Pippen, you know, out of Central Arkansas, where everybody thought, you know, they knew Scottie was a good athlete, but no one saw Scottie as a first-round pick. He took a chance on him, you know. Getting Bill Cartwright and trading, you know, Oakley, who was a fan favorite because he fit the Chicago mold as being a guy who's that, you know, tough, you know, hard-nosed, blue-collar guy people fell in love with. And all of a sudden, you know, they trade him to New York for Bill Cartwright. And then people are like, oh, what did they get Bill Cartwright for? Well, because Jerry had a vision. In order to run Tex Winter's triangle offense, you needed a low post person with some skills that could, you know, that could really anchor your defense. And that's what Bill did. So that was a visionary. Jerry was a visionary.
Yeah, and a talent level, and eye and a scout for two different sports, because people don't know about his baseball history as well. So, yeah, rest in peace to Jerry Krause, the architect of six championships and many playoff teams after that. I want to talk to you about the introduction of Phil Jackson, because you're learning the business of basketball very early in your career. Coach gets let go. You bring in another one. What was being said amongst you guys as players, and what were you thinking at such an early point in your career that, oh, okay, this no longer is for fun. This is a business, and people lose jobs if they don't get the results that they are, you know, the front office is hoping that they yield.
Yeah, that's the difference between college ball and pro ball. You know, college ball, you're playing for, you know, the rah-rah-rah of the university. You're playing for school spirit. There's no money involved. You know,
not a lot.
I did take a pay cut when I came to the league. That's what somebody said. I don't know about that.
Yeah, we keep it funky.
It's been like 25 years now. I think I can be honest with the people. I did take a pay cut when I came to the league.
You ain't getting that Blake Griffin money just yet.
You know, I'm just saying, you know.
The statute of limitations has run out on this.
It's over. The statute of limitations is over, so they can't get me now.
Yeah, you're not Odell Beckham out here handing out hundreds.
That's all I'm going to tell you, though. I took a pay cut when I came here. But on the real, like, you know, knowing, like, when I got the call from Phil Jackson, because we had our press conference introducing us to the city of Chicago, here are the draft picks, you know, B.J. Armstrong, Stacey King, Jeff Sanders. We met the press. Doug was our coach when I left. And then I went back home that same day to Oklahoma. It was probably maybe 6 hours later, I get a phone call from Phil Jackson, you know, let me know that Doug had been relieved of his duty. He's now the head coach. And I don't know this man from Adam. You know, only thing, my introduction to Phil, it's a funny story. My introduction to Phil was when I came here to work out, you know, when you're a lottery pick, you don't do any of the physical stuff. You know, you don't want to get on a court and get hurt, whatever. And I'm very competitive. And the Bulls knew that. So they kind of put me in a situation where they tested my manhood, per se. They said, hey, you know, why are you so scared to work out? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I ain't scared. I'll work out for anybody.
It's
you know, whatever.
Decision.
Yeah. So, but I said, my agent told me not to do it. So I don't want to get hurt, tear my knee up, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know, all the coach, oh, you come on, man. You stop being so soft. I'm like, oh, so when I heard that, I said, okay, let's go work out. So I did all their little drills they had me. Then, you know, I was doing a speed test and all these things. And then one of the drills they had me do, they wanted me to do some post moves, you know, drop step, hook shots, whatever. Being a big-time scorer at Oklahoma, you know, a lot of people think, oh, he had a lot of post moves before he came here. I was just quicker than everybody else. You know, I could jump over everybody else. So, you know, pro game's a little bit different because it's much more physical. And you got to learn how to use your body at the pro game. So they were doing some drills, and they were hitting me with the dummy, and I was scoring, whatever. And then so they said, hey, we're going to bring in a live body. We're going to put a little live body on you, and we're going to see how you work against a live person your size. So I'm like, okay, wait a minute. This is not part of it. You want to hit me with a dummy, hit me with a dummy. So here comes this guy coming through the door. This is when we practiced at the old multiplex over Deerfield.
Yeah.
So here comes this guy. Looked like he just got out of bed. He's got grayish hair. So I'm thinking it's Dave Corzine, because Dave Corzine had just gotten done playing. So he comes walking through the door, and you know, he's a real long, gangly type guy. But I'm like, man, I thought Dave Corzine was bigger than that. Mm-hmm. He looked bigger on TV. Mm-hmm. So I'm just assuming it's Dave Corzine. So guy comes out, you know, he's in basketball shorts and stuff. And so he starts to, you know, defend me. And he's banging me. Bam, bam, boom, bang, boom. And I was like, yo, man, take it easy, bro. Like, you know, he's
shut up and play.
I'm like, man, I said, who do you think you're talking to? Like, so he said, shut up and play. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I do a drop step move on him, and he fouls me hard. Boom, and I fall to the floor. So immediately I get up and say, man, what is your problem? Like, what are you doing? I was cursing, though.
Of course. Yeah, I got you.
This is
a PG podcast. Yeah, exactly.
So I got up, and I was upset, highly upset about it.
Highly upset.
So he tells me to shut up and you know, stop being a blankety blank blank.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, cool, dude. You want to play like that? You must not know me.
Let's get it on.
So, all right. So next day, the coach and Doug and them were like kind of laughing. So they said, hey, do that same play. Do that same move. And so I said, cool. So I power move to the middle and then come back to the baseline to spin. As I spun baseline, I popped the guy who I thought was Dave Corzine in the face. Boom. And then dunked the ball. And then he, you know, kind of stumbled back. Like he took it in the face. So then I took the ball and I said, and I can't say what I said, but I said, you play ball, blankety blank, and threw the ball at him.
Oh, wow.
So he charged me. And I got in the battle stance from where I'm from. Yeah. You coming at me.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing talking, but if you start coming across that line.
It's time to get your Bobby Portis on. Yeah.
It's time to get him up. So, you know, it was getting ready to be a two-piece without the biscuits and gravy. So I squared up. They broke it up. The strength coach grabbed me, you know, Eric Helen. And coaches are separating. He's yelling at me. I'm yelling at him. And I'm like, let him go. Let his old blankety blank go. I'm going to knock him out. So they said, get it. You know, Jerry Krause like, get out of here. Go take a shower. So at that
And point, by the way, you're not a member of the Bulls
I'm not
yet.
Not a member of the Bulls yet.
This is the job interview.
This is a job interview. So immediately I'm thinking, I'm not coming here. There's no chance in hell if they draft me.
Scratch him off the list.
They're not drafting me. Scratch him off the list. Bad attitude, fighter.
Right.
You know, guy has a short temper. So I go to the locker room and I'm heated. I'm walking back to the health club. So Eric Helen, who was the strength coach, was talking to me. He's like, hey man. He's like, oh my God. He's like, man, you got a temper, man. Oh wow, we need some of that here. We need some fighters. I say, hey, dude, I don't even think I'm coming back. They don't want me. After that, they don't want me.
So he's like, what I just did to Dave Corzine?
Yeah. So he's like, I said exactly what I said. I said, Dave Corzine, I don't know who he's messing with. I said, man, I would knock that dude out. I don't play that. I don't care how old he is, if he's a veteran or not. I will knock him out. So as I'm walking back, he's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kept laughing. I kept wondering why in the gym they was laughing.
So funny.
Everybody was laughing. So I'm like, what is funny? Like, y'all think this is a joke? Like, y'all bringing me up here to get mauled by some dude that's already on your roster that he's probably ticked off that I maybe take his position
right,
and his playing time.
Right.
I don't find anything funny. So we're walking back. So Eric's like, so he's laughing. And Eric is just a little older than me. So I go, man, why are you laughing? Like, well, stop laughing. What's so funny? He goes, oh, man, do you know who that was? I said, yeah, Dave Corzine, blankety blank, blank.
Right.
So he
that
said,
punk blank yeah, Dave Corzine.
Yeah, punk, blank, blank, blank. So he goes, no, that was Phil Jackson.
Yes.
So I'm like, Phil Jackson, who was that? I didn't know who it was. So, because I didn't see Knicks games. I didn't watch
right.
Knicks games back
right.
when he was playing. So he's like, that's Phil Jackson. He's assistant coach. I'm there. Right there when he said assistant coach, I just turned white. I was like, oh.
I'm going to have to deal with this guy.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to draft me now. right, they're not going to draft right. me.
Can't elbow the assistant coaches.
Yeah, you can't get into a fight with the assistant coach. So I go shower. I come back into the coach's office, and I'm sitting there, and there's a big TV in there, and they're getting ready to show me some footage of my college games or whatever. They're going to go over a couple of things that they saw, and they want to ask some questions, mm-hmm. whatever. So then Phil comes back in, and now I know it's Phil Jackson. I'm kind of apologetic, but then I'm also prepared just in case he come in and trying to, you know, trying to steal me or something while I'm sitting in the chair. So I'm in a chair just like this. He walks in, and, you know, you could just look at him, that you could just tell that it didn't seem like it was over. He had that look, like, you know, like he just walked into something that smelled bad or something, you know. He just had that we call it the fart face look, yeah. or something, you know. So
he looked like he was ready to check
his
temperature.
He looked like he was getting ready to yeah. try to come at me again. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, so let me get myself up here and ready to go. And then, so Jerry's like, sit down, everything's good. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, and then Phil goes, everything's good, don't worry about it, man. We just wanted to see some things. It's cool. And I'm Phil Jackson, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I know now.
Right.
I thought you was Dave Corzine. Right. My bad, man.
A little bit different reverence. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have acted that way if I know you was a coach. Right. And so everybody's laughing. And then so then Jerry goes off and says, you know, and he's giving me this spiel like, hey, you know, you can't do that. You'll get ejected and hurt your team. Yeah. If that was the Bill Laimbeer and he did that to you and you responded that way, we need guys that's going to keep their composure mm-hmm. and keep their head about them. And then so I go, well, I said, Mr. Crossland's going to tell you straight up. I said, if somebody mauled me like that, that's if they hit me, again. I said, I'm just going to have to be ejected. You told me you want honesty. I'm going to be honest with you. You drafted a wrong dude. If you don't expect me to be a fighter and fight back right. and you want somebody just to punk me, it's not going to happen. So I may not be the guy that you want to draft, you know. So then Doug's in the background. Yes, that's what we talking about. We are getting him. If you are there, Stacey, and he was like going crazy. Right. How crazy Doug is.
Right.
Doug was all excited about it. We need more people like him.
It's real.
This is what we want on the team. So I was kind of like, okay, well, one guy like me.
Right, you know, right.
So he the coach. So I assumed,
elbowed the coach. Yeah, got the other one that liked me. Right.
One guy liked me. Right. And so then Johnny Bach also liked me. So there was some good situations going, and so it was in my favor. But he called me back, you know, when I went home, and I was shocked that he got the job. Mm. And so I was like, oh. No.
Were you worried that he was going to keep it in his head for the rest of your life?
I felt like there was going to be some repercussions. And honestly, when I was younger, I honestly felt like there was some repercussions.
There's still
bad
blood.
I honestly do. You know, I honestly felt like there was some damage from that he didn't let go. I felt that way. Mm. And, you know, and later on I had a conversation with him. And that was the case. There was some animosity there. And so, you know, people don't forget things, you know. But at the same time, you know, I knew my role on this team. I knew what he needed me to do. And he knew that I could do whatever I needed to do to help this team win and be put in position to do certain things, my skill set. So he knew, like, that was going to be – he knew that was going to be a situation that – you know, when counted on, when needed, I would be able to answer the bell.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here, but you sound like that was a story where two competitors are going at it.
Yep.
Michael Jordan, famous for his competitive spirit and all the things that he brought to the table as not just a basketball icon, but a global icon. When did you realize that moment, like, this is why Michael Jordan is special? Is there one moment? Is there one instance? Is there one series? One game? Is there a moment you could think of?
You know, honestly, there's like a million things. I think one of the moments that really stands out in my mind. We were playing in Atlanta, and MJ sprained his ankle really bad, and went in before halftime, and you know, it looked like he wasn't going to come back. I mean, really bad. Had to carry him back to the locker room, ankle swole up, whatever. And so at the beginning of the third quarter, they were playing the Superman theme song. Okay, everybody thinks MJ's gone. He's not going to play the rest of the game. And the Atlanta Hawk was dressed like Superman. So they had the dry ice going through the little tunnel.
Right, right.
And so the Superman theme song comes out. And so the Hawk is supposed to come out in his little Superman outfit. Lo and behold, you know, Michael Jordan comes out during that thing. The Hawk didn't. It was Michael Jordan who came out, and it was just apropos that it was that Superman theme song that
Mike planned.
Came out.
Mike planned.
And we all looked like, oh my goodness, like holy, and you know, we
right.
Because he could barely walk. And then he came back out, and I think he had like 40. You know, he had like 20-some points in the second half. Another funny, real quick funny mm-hmm. story. So when I was at University of Oklahoma, you know, all of us idolize MJ. We all like, you know, sometimes I dream.
Right,
he
right.
is me,
right,
that kind of stuff. Right. So,
I don't want you to wear your voice out too early. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Blowing pipes. So I really enjoyed watching MJ play. So I used to have a poster in my apartment, my bedroom. So when I would leave to go to a game, it was my good luck charm. I had all these little quirky things I had to do before the game, but the last thing I had to do was touch MJ poster. Mm. So and so he was it's a poster where he was dunking the kiss the rim dunk. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I would rub the poster one time, and then I'd go out and score 30, 40
nice.
Points. So I'd always attributed that every time I touched that poster, that's why I had great games touching that poster.
Right.
So I would even have that poster on the road. I'd roll, bring it on the road with me. Yeah, put it in my hotel room, boom, touch it, boom, boom, boom. So I just, in my mind, now this is, you know, 21-year-old kid.
I already know where this is going.
It's the poster. It's the poster doing it. So my first game in Chicago, we come in. We're in the old stadium, the old little bitty locker room. So my locker was across from MJ's. Mine was over there by the shower. His was by the door, by going towards training room. You know, that locker room was really small.
Yes.
You couldn't
yes.
get more than probably 20 people in there at a time. Mm-hmm. So my first game, you know, I was sitting in my locker, and I'm like, damn, I didn't bring my poster. But then I'm thinking to myself, I said, damn, I don't need a poster.
Right.
I got MJ on my team. Right. So
please,
instead of rubbing the poster, I'm going to touch MJ.
Oh, jeez.
So MJ was at his stall. And he had his North Carolina shorts, and we're getting ready for a game.
Right.
And I was getting ready to go warm up. So MJ had his shirt off, and he had a pair of shorts on. And he was getting dressed. He had his back to me, and I was debating whether I should go rub him or not. I'm like, man, this might not come off right, the right,
right.
way.
So might be inappropriate it? For yeah, your first game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I said, you know what? Damn that. I'm like, I was getting 40 in college touching this dude with a poster, a piece of paper.
It's 60
I might go
now.
For 60 touching the real person.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's over there, you know, he's got his shirt off. I walk over right before I went out of the game. I rubbed his arm. And he's like, man, what you doing? What you doing? What you doing touching me? What are you doing? I say, hey, man, listen. Hey, it's not that kind of party.
Right, right.
I said, I used to get luck touching your poster. So I figure that now that I'm on your team,
how'd that go
I
over?
Can touch you. And he's like, man, you ain't touching me. So I said, we ain't doing that, okay?
That's,
we ain't doing
that's
that.
That's a pregame ritual he ain't signed up for.
We're not doing that, okay? So, no, we don't do that in the NBA. I said, okay, man, all right. I know it looks weird.
Right.
Okay, I know.
Right.
But it's just some kind of superstition I had in college. So after that, was a one and done. I only touched him one time, and that was it.
If you had allowed it, would it have been a pregame ritual?
It probably would have.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best in the business. Thank you so much, Stacey, for giving us some of your time. Please stop ducking me on 2K. Ready for that?
Man, I'm retired from now. I'm in the war games now, man.
Oh yeah,
I'm in Madden and war games. Right, I play Division. I'm in the war games.
All right,
now,
we'll get it on. Stacey King, ladies and gentlemen, on the Bulls Talk Podcast.
All right, well that's it. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. You can find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show, because we know you guys like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. Those help out a lot. Thank you for doing that. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning. And continue to, you know, check out these podcasts as we, you know, put them out. Tell your friends. Again, this is every Friday. We're going to be dropping a new episode with special guests on the 90s Bulls for this first series for the next few weeks, and we hope you guys enjoy them. Can't talk. We'll catch you guys next time.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.